Welcome to McGuire on the Wire, where you'll discover top stories and strategies in specialty tax broken down by our experts. You'll also meet leaders from across the firm who will discuss McGuire Sponsel's approach to common challenges faced by our clients.
Hi, I'm Justin Gephardt. On today's episode, I sit down with Senior Manager Justin Wood to discuss the state of our fixed asset services practice, how he builds camaraderie and strong team players, and what challenges we expect to help our clients with next year. Hello, you have Justin Gephardt, shareholder at McGuire Sponsel. Today I've got a special colleague of mine, the Justin Wood from our fixed asset practice. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks. Good to be here.
So Justin, you know, I've worked alongside you for many years now. We've got a special relationship, almost like a brother is what I view you as. Yes. Why don't you share a little bit about yourself from a personal standpoint? What do you like to do outside of work? What are some of your hobbies, interests?
Yeah, so I really like football, played football growing up, went to college and played football. So that's kind of one of my favorite things to do. Coached until the last couple years when I had my daughter, who's now approaching 2 years old. But really other than that, like working on the house, like being outside, football games, going to as many of those as possible, and then spending as much time with my wife and daughter as I can.
Awesome. You know, as I reflect about your journey here at McGuire Sponsel, you know, we kind of go through the ups and downs, you know, just a natural development of anybody. And the one thing that I've always appreciated about you is your work ethic and the way you've been able to persevere through any of the obstacles that have been thrown your way. So as you are one of the main leaders on our CostSeg practice right now, why don't you go back and explain a little bit about your journey, how you got to McGuire Sponsel? I remember the first day you showed up, you were wearing this bright green shirt that I believe Carrie picked out for you to wear.
Yes.
Got a nice photo for your first day at your big boy job. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that. But if you wouldn't mind just kind of going back and how did you get to McGuire Sponsel and how has your career evolved through the years?
Yeah, so honestly, I didn't ever see myself working in an office role. I went to school and got an accounting degree. I really enjoyed just the accounting aspect of school, and it came pretty easy to me, but didn't know if I wanted to, you know, go into public accounting. Didn't really know there was these other options out there. So straight out of school, I went and poured concrete. That's kind of where my construction background comes from. I've been doing that since I was a small kid. But, went and did that for a year straight out of school, then started looking for jobs, you know, applied at another CPA firm that kind of introduced me to McGuire Sponsel, and then, you know, came in an interview. Sponsel hugged me on my interview, and the rest has kind of been history. But, yeah, no, like you said, just kind of the course of, you know, the career and role here, you know, the great support system that we have here, yourself, TJ, all that's kind of helped me get to where I'm at today. As well as, like you said, I think, you know, playing sports, just having that perseverance and, just being able to push through whatever's given to you and always just trying to be better. And that's kind of just where we've gotten to where we are today.
So I know the first part of this, the answer to this upcoming question is going to be you get to work with me. But what are some of the other spots that you enjoy working with within the cost segregation practice and leading those guys, and then something just more on the firm level?
I was always like a team captain, stuff like that growing up. So being a leader, just having a lot of people on the team that look up to you and are looking to you for guidance and stuff, that's probably one of my favorite aspects. And then just having the responsibility of, you know, their work-life balance, their happiness, their all of that kind of burdened on you. Most people wouldn't enjoy that, but I just kind of like to try to give the best work opportunity that I can to all the people on our team. And then outside of CostSeg is probably just being able to learn things about other practices. And when you go in and you identify kind of like what we call cross-selling, being able to go in and help a client that we're focusing on CostSeg, but then it turns around and there's an R&E opportunity or an international opportunity, something like that. That's I like being able to find avenues that they hadn't seen or bringing something to the table that they maybe hadn't talked about or thought of to that point. Probably the biggest challenge, kind of back onto the cost seg side, would be, again, you know, just, you know, we are growing at a very significant pace and it doesn't seem to be slowing down. Just trying to manage all the growth with quality, with expectations, kind of balancing all of that work-life balance for the team. That's probably the biggest challenge as of right now.
So you alluded to this a little bit earlier in our discussion. Some of your experience on from a technical standpoint, from an industry focus of the, on the concrete side. You know, you've helped our cost segregation practice grow tremendously. I think when you started out, you know, we were averaging, you know, between 2 and 250 jobs a year. And if you look at what we're doing this year, it's north of 1,200 jobs. So in a period of 8 years, that kind of growth has been tremendous, and you've been a large part of that. How do you feel like your experience in the concrete industry and some of your technical expertise within the accounting side has helped you develop that practice?
Yeah, I just think, you know, and obviously you can't take all the credit. You got you and Craig Fouts as well that spearheaded a lot of this along with Dave McGuire. But I think when I kind of started, we were looking to take that next step into more of a technical expertise. And we were doing that as a firm-wide, not just in CostSeg. But for CostSeg in particular, we were looking to become more of that technical resource to all of our partnering CPA firms across the country. And, you know, the three and four of us just were able to get together, use my knowledge, Dave's knowledge as an engineer, your attention to detail, and kind of just comb all that together to be able to, we definitely handle things very, very different than we did when I first started. Things are a lot more detailed, put columns are put together, you know, from ground up, things like that, that we didn't used to do. So it's just a lot more detailed and accurate instead of just always using, you know, costing averages or assumptions. So yeah, no, I also think it helped my transition into cost seg. I was able to hit the ground running quite a bit faster than just, you know, someone who didn't have either the technical or the construction background. So it just was able to help me hit the ground running and kind of just not look back. So
throughout your history, you know, you've done a lot of great things in the firm. One of the foundation pillars that you've established is something called the Wood Challenge.
Oh, Lord.
You know, this is a tradition that our cost segregation team has to walk through every tax season. Why don't you explain a little bit about what that challenge entails?
Yeah, so first off, I guess I'd have to go out and say that when I did this originally, I was fresh out of college, still eating like an offensive lineman, but this was not a challenge. This was just a normal day for me that they have now turned into a challenge. But it was 12 donuts, Krispy Kreme, whatever, just regular donuts in the morning. And then at lunch, it was a barbecue burger from Weber along with fries and a Woodford and Diet. And yeah, you have to do all of that. The donuts have to be done by lunch, and then you've got to eat the lunch, you know, within roughly hour and a half. And then, there's a lot of people that struggle, and most people feel miserable at it after it. But, you know, it's a good thing. It kind of breeds some camaraderie for us.
I think if you were to see our cost seg team, there's not a lot of little guys on that team. So these food challenges that pop up from time to time, that's just one of them. But I remember the day that it wasn't a challenge. It was just your normal day. You got done with lunch and you came back and you ate a couple more donuts on top of that. So quite impressive. So obviously our fixed asset practice has grown tremendously through the years, and this year is no different. We're having a record year. Could you talk a little about what you think has driven that growth?
Yeah, so I personally believe that, you know, a couple years ago we made a conscious effort for a national marketing campaign. I think we're really starting to reap the benefits of that. We're getting rooted in with a lot more of our partnering CPA firms, plus we're expanding our CPA network all the time. I think there's just a lot of really good traction out there. As far as the market goes, I really think that, you know, with the tax rate possible increases, different things going on with the legislation that people are, you know, expecting or think are going to come. that there's just a lot of people not wanting to sit on cash, and they're running and dumping them into real estate. You know, big office buildings may, in my opinion, this is just, you know, from my construction background, I think you're going to see big office buildings start being turned into like residential homes, condos, things like that. I just think there's a lot of people trying to get ahead of the game, get that money put into assets that are going to appreciate, and that's what they're kind of, as you know, the real estate market, everything like that, costs are just going through the roof. I think everybody was just trying to get in on that. I'm anxious to see how it shakes out in the future, but I really, there's no signs on our end, and I'm just talking from CostSeg standpoint, that we see anything slowing down anytime soon. We're having proposals and phone calls and discussions at a, you know, rapid pace that we're not, that we normally not accustomed to this time of year. Things are still rolling in for deadlines, so I'm really excited at to where the next couple years can be for CostSeg with some of these different things going on across the industry right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think our national focus within that practice has brought a lot of momentum to our cost segregation team. You know, we deal with all types of clients, whether it's a $200,000 warehouse expansion up to a, you know, multi-billion dollar high rise in one of the metropolitan areas. I think the thing that we've done well is helped identify pain points that clients either have a certain preconceived notion about with cost segregation, whether, hey, it's too expensive or it takes too long or we don't need this. We've helped identify those and helped address those. Is there any, as we highlight the pain point piece, what have you heard from clients that you want to kind of specifically address on the pain point side?
Yeah, so some of the pain points that we see with the clients, obviously, you know, with any consulting service is price. There are a lot of smaller firms, studies for less money than we can. And there's always, you know, in every industry, no matter what it is, consulting, cost seg, whatever, there's always going to be people that can do it for cheaper, but you know, you get what you pay for. That's the moral of the story. So price is one we have seen, you know, pricing get a little bit more competitive across the industry, which is good though. It makes us tighten up a little bit, make sure that we are as efficient as possible and that we're getting things done in a timely manner. Then the other pain point that we see is just, you know, I guess it's kind of more on our end, but is just people, we call it quote unquote low hanging fruit, that people can just go in and pull the big ticket items. You know, but when you're doing that, you're only getting 30% maybe of what, you know, when you bring in the experts, the engineers, technical guides like we are, that you could possibly be getting, you know, just by pulling, you know, your carpeting out or whatever else asset you think you know what the life is. Plus, you're also increasing your IRS exposure. We defend all of our work. It comes with audit protection on every engagement. That's not an additional fee. It's included in our engagements. And we stand behind all our work. We believe that we're doing it with the utmost integrity and to the exact specifications of the IRS. So we stand behind everything that we do. So you're also limiting your, you know, exposure with the IRS as well. So that's one of the ways I think that we can help alleviate that pain point as well.
The point you just made about the pricing and where we see a lot of competitive bids, and it's a lot of mom and pop shops. And I think something to highlight there is the IRS exposure, the audit exposure. You know, yeah, you may get something cheaper, but they aren't technically sound. And it's a situation where, do you want to have something that can be defended? And that's something we've bumped into from time to time. So, you know, as you look at our industry, you know, everything's changed in the last 18 months. There's no way of getting around that. COVID has had impact on industries in a different way. As you look at our industry, and specifically the projects that our team oversees, how have we had to adapt through the COVID pandemic in terms of site visits and maybe some calculations and working with clients to make sure that they can actually utilize the benefit?
Yeah, so I would say over the last year, the things that's changed the most in the industry, you just hit one of them on the head, would be the site inspections. as well as just the amount of questions about our opinions of what's upcoming or what the future holds. So we'll touch on the site visit portion first, but obviously with site visits, we had to do a lot more remote site visits, whether that's FaceTime, Teams, the client taking video of the suite as they walk through it, taking pictures for us once we send them a list. There was a lot of different ways that we had to do that. We still try to get, and that's one of the things we hang our hat on, and in our cost seg practice is that we do visit every single site. That's another thing that helps limit our IRS exposure. But you know, with COVID, we did have to adapt. So we did do quite a bit more, you know, remote site visits than we've ever done before. I would say they went pretty well. There was a few. I mean, you just still, it's hard to ask someone to slow down and walk through a building as slow as that we it takes us to get through there to get all the takeoffs. But still, we were able to do enough and get enough information from appraisals and things like that, that we were able to get them a very high quality study, still deliver some great benefit as well on that. And then the other portion, I'd say, about the industry, it's just been a lot more questions of, hey, what do you think is going to happen? Or what are you hearing? Just hearing that a bunch in the last year and a half. To be honest with you, there was a lot of those questions up front when this first started. And in the first few months, I think that kind of, you know, everybody was nervous. Everybody was kind of gun shy on pulling the trigger on studies. But in the last year, 14 months, I think everyone kind of threw the notion of, you know, COVID shutting the country completely down, you know, from a economy standpoint. And, you know, the tax law changes that everybody thought was coming immediately when we had that transition. And it's just floodgates wide open. And that's the way it's been for the last year. And like I said, I don't know, you know, personally, I don't know if that's from, you know, not knowing what's coming and they just going after it, or everybody thinks it's going to stay status quo and so they're just going after it. But either way, it's been pretty good for us.
You know, as we look at the tail end of 21, okay, we've had a tremendous start to this year. What do you look forward to close out the year and as we lead into 2022?
Yeah, so kind of like I alluded to earlier, I really view myself as a team player. I'm always team first, try to be anyways. So just growing our team and the development of our team, it's just in the last few months, there's been just with this growth, you know, creates new opportunities, new positions, things like that for the people within our team to be able to grow and grasp and develop into. So just seeing how much everyone's kind of grown and developed over the last few months, just continuing that through the rest of this year, getting us into tax season when, like you said, we see a lot of work. So it helps kind of speed up the growth and development of a lot of people because we cram so much work in such, in, you know, in four months. So we just want to, you know, continue to grow and develop everybody, but also plus, you know, just continue. We talked about that work-life balance, continuing to add good, solid people to our practice. We're nothing without, you know, our people, and then we're only as strong as our weakest link, and that's what we truly believe. So continuing to go out, find, you know, good quality candidates to add to this team to kind of help keep this thing that we're building, just continue to keep it growing and growing, and, you know, hopefully 22, we're talking about the same thing, and it just keep on growing. So,
well, I just want to thank you for joining me today. Thank you to everybody that was listening. If you have a question specific to cost segregation or fixed assets, please don't hesitate to reach out to Justin Wood. And again, thank you so much for taking your time. Please take care. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you'd like to connect with Justin directly, his contact information can be found in the show notes. Register for our next webinar, A CPA's Proactive Approach to Enhancing Client Services Through Credits and Incentives. On Tuesday, November 16th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Ben Worrell and Steve Brunson will discuss how to recognize valuable incentive opportunities for growing clients during annual planning. Link to register is in the show notes.
This has been McGuire on the Wire. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow us on social @McGuireSponsel to get more industry news and firm updates.